Number one, I call this Operation Thunder. And because I wanted to be a fucking crew of guys that, or anybody really, who wanted to come and take action. So five of us here, a couple more guys are going to roll up. About 10,000 people got an email about it, a real quiet email about what we would do. So step number one, I don't even know, like math-wise, what the percentage is. About 10 people, right, are coming out of 10,000. So that's a low percentage. So number one, when you're here, and the fact that you're going to do something with it, it shows your odds of success against the people that are, you know, want to do this shit but don't really step up and do it. Okay? That's the big difference maker. I mean, that's a huge difference maker as to why I'm pretty successful. Definitely not exactly where I want to be, but why I keep growing is just whenever I went to something or attended some sort of event, I mean, I was taking action the day of, and then the next day, and really pumping that shit out. And none of it was perfect. In fact, none of it was even good. It wasn't even that good, but I guess the energy of just doing stuff regularly brought, you know, brought good things my way. So, rule of thumb, you have to do something. I don't care what it is, you just have to do shit, okay? Now, this first page here talks about my story. A lot of you know my story, but the reason why you want to have a story is because you're here because of my story, and you relate to me. I'm kind of, probably, I was all of you not long ago. Of course, plenty of, like, differences or subtle differences, but not much. We're pretty much all the same. I entered the conversation in your mind. I already knew exactly what's going on in your head. You're sick of what you're doing. You're sick of what you're doing. So are you. So are you. You want more. You've got a family. You're almost married. You're tired of doing that shit. You've got your girl. You know, you have all these things. And psychologically, that story and your story is going to be what's going to connect people to you. So you got to have a story. And don't try to change the story for anybody or anything. Your story is your story. And that's what's going to get people coming your way and basically, you know, how you start narrowing down who you're going to work with. Now, I've been training since age 13. I fell in love with that shit from day one, and I wanted a gym. My dad, probably by like age 14, maybe 15, I'd have him driving around to every gym I knew just so I could take a tour. It's in my head. I was like, I'm going to own a gym. I'm going to run a gym. Now, this gym got about 1,000 workable square feet. We're right next to a 5 or 6,000 square foot gym. The difference between, excuse me, gym like what you guys are about to run, and it can be done within an existing place, and a big place like that is the work and numbers to income ratio. I'm here from 4 to 8 p.m. and then Friday 4 to 7 p.m. Here and there, I have a 2-hour day. They are in the gym Monday through Friday, I think it's 5 to 11, and then Saturday, Sunday, it's like 8 to 6, 9 to 5, something like that. I don't even know how many hours that is. That's a fucking lot of hours. That's a lot of numbers and members that they have to control as well. $30, $35 a month. There's also several owners there. Here it's me and 2 employees. And this nets more than that place. And they work, I'm going to say, it must be like 6 times as much. Basically, I'm here about 17 hours a week, 18 hours a week. Over there, from 5 to 11, we got 5, 12. They're putting in like 15, 17 hour days, right? I'm putting in 16 to 17 hour a week. It's very doable to do that part-time and make a full-time income. So right now, we've got like 45 or 47 clients. The average client is paying $250 a month. There are more, there's probably like 10 to 15 paying $375 a month. And then there's like another 10 or so paying $195 or, you know, a little bit under that per month. But the key is that you understand that smaller gives you advantage. You're no longer a gym. This is not a gym. It's a coaching facility. You're able to know each person individually. You need to know everybody's story. The story's the key, okay? The story is where all that bonding begins. Now, if you look at my, you know, really my background starting this, you know, I had a lot of failures and a lot of mishaps, but I used that shit to my advantage. I grew into big debt, probably a lot of you guys, okay? And if you're not in debt, that'll be good for you. And most people are in debt. And I didn't know how to control finances or anything. I started traveling a little bit and got engaged and then had to buy the house and had to get all that shit going. And my real world job didn't pay for it, which to me, angry, bad, because I had a master's degree. You know, when I was making like 42 grand a year, so that pissed me off, that fired me up, that if you have a master's degree and you can't support just you and your girl or you and your partner, or, you know what I mean, it fired me up. So I knew that I had to take the skills and apply them. But before that, I was basically too big of a pussy to ask for money. That was it. This is the same as any profession. Number one, if somebody doesn't have their health, they have nothing. So you are invaluable, number one. Number two, if you're training athletes, the way we angle this is it's not so much we train to make you stronger, faster, more muscular. It's the character building. It's the responsibility that they learn, the accountability. It carries over to everything. You know, we have high standards and we expect excellence, so we don't encourage mediocrity. In a small place, you could do that stuff, and you could angle, you know, and you could angle kind of like why your services are the way they are. Does $250, $350 a month sound expensive? Maybe for your area, maybe not. But here's the one thing you always should know: you're worth it. Didn't Howard Stern get paid like $100 million or some shit? He maybe even bet more, and he was like, "Yeah, and I'm worth every penny." He was unapologetic for it. You can't be for everybody, so, you know, that's just something I want you to keep in your mind. So, when I tried getting into the business, guys like us were more like renegades. I tried to, like, apply for fitness positions at other places, and when they would call me to bring me in, I told them I found something else. I just fucking could not connect with it, which is where you guys are at. So now's your time to move forward with that, okay? That's going to be the critical part. You have to move forward with you not wanting to work for other people and wanting to do your own thing. The next one talks about like the reputation, what I'm known for. You want to build your reputation and what you're known for. It probably should say build your legend, which I'm going to talk about later. One thing that's really been hitting me a lot is the people in this world that are most influential, they're more like fictional characters. They're more hero-like, comic book-like. You need to have that characteristic to you to draw people to you. And that's going to really make your business a winning place. Even if you don't do everything the right way, to develop that hero, legend, comic book-like thing. I mean, if you look at what I'm known for, I created this business from scratch. While I was in debt, I created it while I was married, while working a full-time job, and I also created an online business, really, from scratch, just like this, and both of them produced six figures. Right now, we're netting like $8,500 to $9,500 a month, part-time. That's doable for everybody. I do it part-time. There's a big gap here during the day from 6 a.m. till 3 p.m. that could have all kinds of shit going on in here. So that's a void that I'm going to try to fill, or a gap that I'm going to try to fill. What you guys simply need to do, the first, you know, starting point I say is double the rent. So if rent is $2,000 a month, you want to have a base of $4,000 that's going to be coming in. That's just period. Once I decided I wanted to run this gym, I kicked in a referral system into high gear when I was training athletes out of my house. And I was like, hey, two-car garage, and all the equipment here was in my garage, except for the tires, and except for that power rack. I don't know how the fuck I fit it all in there, but I did. We trained in the garage, we did stuff in my backyard, I did stuff at an elementary school, which was probably the dumbest thing I ever could have fucking done, because if somebody gets hurt, boom, I'm screwed. But when your back is against the wall, and shit has to be done, sometimes you just say, fuck it, and dive in, do those things that are a little bit sketchy. I didn't go to good parks where I needed to get my permits and all that. I went to real shit-side places that, like, dirt bags hung out at and just smoking cigarettes and, you know, really just no, there would be no park ranger. If anybody was coming, it was like the township to cut some lawn, and they didn't give a shit about anything going on unless somebody was getting murdered there. So it was a real, you know, it was a real simple way for me to make stuff happen without being perfect and without spending money. So no rent by doing stuff, you know, in my own house, and I built it up. Once I got to this point where I had this like 20, 22 guys, and the street was getting a little bit busy, you gotta remember it, unless you have a residential business, you know, your house is like that, it is an illegal business. But a lot of people do it, and my way around it would be I'd say, this is just a club, and we're just training. That's it. But I tried to keep shit on the down low, and I took good care of my neighbors. The thing that really pushed me over the edge was Alan Koch Hotel. No matter how big time you think you are, how good you are, you're really not a big time trainer, or you're not really anything, you know, concrete until you really have your own place. You know, there's guys that write a lot of articles on the internet and do all that shit, but you have to get yourself out there. Okay? So you gotta put yourself out there. And things are pretty good now, but the most important thing, you know, about a kick-ass entrepreneur is no matter how good things are, you try to make them better. It's not that you're dissatisfied, but you have, like, constructive dissatisfaction. You see, like, these little holes in your business and how you can grow them, okay? So, this next one, talking about your story, and here's where shit gets very critical. Talk about your story leading to leader, you know, growing into leadership. When people connect with your story, they automatically see you as a leader. Whether you like it or not, you're a leader. And when you're a leader, you can't have like half-assed positioning on stuff, or be wishy-washy on what you want. Your training philosophy, your philosophy on how to get shit done, on your expectations has to be very concrete. So what you always want to think about is putting your story out there, and don't fabricate your story. That shit has to be real. You don't want to tell people that one day you were born in, where were you born, Jamie? In Richmond, and then the next story you were born in Virginia Beach, like to fuck yourself up. Like, be dead on serious about every aspect of your story. Your struggles into growing. Why you started training. You know, for you, it was your car accident. For me, it was, you know, my ACL reconstruction. And the business side was the motivation to take care of my family and do what I love. And be able to tell my kids one day that I was not, you know, chicken shit. And I would be able to represent, you know, if I tell my daughter, go for it, go do this. And she's like, why, Daddy, what did you do? So I have that story. And that's what leads me to becoming a leader for people that want to grow into this kind of thing. And it makes people listen. And of course, nothing makes people listen better than success. Success will silence most of your critics, not all. Okay? So that's critical. If you look below, I talk about growing your community. Because people want to become you, or they want to be around you, or they just want to, kind of be part of your atmosphere. And your cult, or your club, or your tribe. Community is the most important thing. That's why so many people are so hung up on Facebook, and LinkedIn, and Twitter, or, you know, you think of any scene, like the New York City club scene, MMA, like, they all want to try to, like, hang together. That's a very tightly knit community. And when you build community, a real powerful, solid community, and that's what I've done in this gym, it makes it very hard for people to want to leave you. It makes it very painful for them to want to leave you. So your ability to grow community, take care of them in ways that are different than every other business, is going to be critical. So from the moment you get one client, and you've already got several clients, don't treat it like this is just a gym or, you know, some sort of business. What kick-ass things can you do to build that community. And really, really got to give a shit. It's all these little things that add up. We're here, we've got some little add-ins that we do, unique experiences with our guys. My buddies that are going to be coming up here, they're down on the Jersey Shore. Every Friday, they have like a courtyard in front of their gym. It's like this big. And there's like a fountain there, but there's no water in it. Every Friday, after 5 o'clock workouts, ice, fucking Coronas, beers, they just kick back. Now, if you're a member of their gym, and you've been training with them, kind of exchanging sweat and blood with like 20 other people, and fucking every Friday, you're kicking back on those beers, you don't want to leave that. Because then on Friday, last Friday, we're all kicking back, drinking beer. And then today on Friday, I had to rent a Blockbuster movie. That sucks. And I don't want to leave that gym. So what could you do that goes beyond the gym? Think back to Venice Beach from the Golden Era. Right? Those dudes ate together. They hung out together. Everybody wanted to be in Gold's Gym Venice or on Muscle Beach. They were part of that community. Anybody who saw that, follow them. Lou Ferrigno saw all that shit and decided he wanted to be a bodybuilder and compete. And he wanted to be part of that community. So stop training people only and start creating something that builds into your, you know, they call it a tribe. And there's also a good book out called Tribes, which you probably want to read, you definitely want to read, by Seth Godin. I'll tell you something about reading, guys. When your back is up against the wall, or when times are shitty, you want to fucking read a lot. You want to read a lot of good stuff, and you want to learn to read fast. Because one sentence out of a book could be the thing that tips you over, literally, into greatness. Sometimes that's all you need. And one of the biggest things that hit me was a guy who told me about his dad coming here from another country and like being a stock boy in a liquor store. And then 5 years later, he's part owner. And he said a big reason why he won is because he was an immigrant. And immigrants, mentality-wise, they have to fucking kick ass to survive, or they're going back home. And their whole family's going back with them. If you take on that mentality, you'll be ready to outwork and out-hustle people, you know. And I want to preface everything we're talking about here is that this is hard work. I didn't plant the shit here, and the gym just grew. Because when I listened to everybody else, it was kind of a normal business. We were really sucking ass here. And I was training people I didn't want to train, and I wasn't busy. I wasn't getting the referrals I wanted. I wasn't generating any buzz. It's because I thought, really, that, oh, if I love what I do, everybody comes here. I don't care how much you love what you do, you need to generate buzz and hit the pavement and put in the sweat equity, okay? You got to get out there. I show up to a lot of athletic events. I do a ton of shift three. Maddie said he's going to have to do a lot of shift three. Hell's yeah. You may have to take 10, 20, 30 people for free. Fuck it, take 15 people at a time. Two groups of 15. Everybody that trains with you has to be willing to post comments on your blog, take before and after photos, tell their friends about it, help you with referrals. They have to be your soldiers. That's probably one thing I didn't do enough when I opened this gym. I didn't get people in here for free. I went out and did stuff for free, but getting people in here is much different than me going to a wrestling club or a football field. There's energy, but I think everybody here is trained here. You know the energy when we're cranking that, and you're like right next to that guy, and everybody's just killing it. Like, do you want to train here, or do you want to go back to your high school, where I don't even know what music you're playing, and every other moron is doing curls against the wall and doing his other dumb stuff and legs extensions, or do you want to be here? Do you know what I'm saying? That's the separation. This Friday, we've got a fundraiser strongman event. That's a big thing that goes on here that guys want to be part of that stuff. If you look at it bottom of this year, I can't emphasize this enough. You've got to be a leader if you want to have that community building, and you can't be half-assed about anything. Even though I love my athletes that are here, I'm pretty tough on them. I give them a lot of tough love. You don't call me on time, you show up late, you skip without coming, you can get your ass handed to you, and probably get like a punishment workout. Like, this shit has to be on. And then tell them, I want people that want to win, and I want the best. Pick up your phone, be responsible, be accountable, show up early, do your homework, which is like our warm-ups. That stuff is very cut and dry. If they're not going to do that, they're gone. And nobody wants to get kicked out. And you could do that. You could set the tone from day one. Does that make sense? Set the tone from day one. All right. Check out this next one. Very important. He says there's no business not like your business. No yellow tape. You guys are working for other people, or you have worked for other people, you're going by their rules. You open up your place, you go by your rules. You can make changes on the fly. You can do a lot of stuff, you know, literally within minutes. You don't have to go through upper management or any of that crap. You only obviously have to follow, like, the legal rules, whatever those are. Okay? That shit has to be in place before you do anything. So having your own business allows you to be very different. And the number one rule of business is to be different. Because every gym here does the same shit. It's the same stuff. Okay? They're all just a person, just a number. You know what I'm saying? You have a smaller place, you could blow it up. Here's my philosophy for you guys to kick some ass. And this is a hard one. Because you get a little bit too excited with all the training stuff. Live on nuts and berries. When I first got this gym, I started buying shit that I didn't need. Okay? Live on nuts and berries means minimalist. Okay? Minimal. Only what you need. You are not allowed to spend any more money on your gym until you're picking up, I like to say, like, 5 new clients. Because if you're getting 5 new clients, at the least, for what you guys are going to do, it should be $150 a month. Okay? And what is that, 750 extra bucks? Then you can go ahead and buy 1 or 2 kettlebells. The money has, you have to start building money, and your focus really needs to be on generating the buzz or the marketing. Okay? And marketing doesn't mean signs and shit like that. We're going to really get into how you want to market. But I bought a lot of Dynamax balls. Fucking never use those things. What else was I spending money on? I just started buying, like, stupid things that I didn't need. I was, like, trying to buy refrigerators and all that crap. Like, who cares? Like, drink warm water. You know what I mean? Like, we'll get that thing going when the time comes. I was like, oh, I need a fax machine here and all that. I couldn't even figure out how to hook that thing up. That thing's, like, in the garage now. So we have a cell phone here, okay? And I was starting to just get excited and thought I needed to fill things up. But truth be told, if this thing was just empty, and all we had were, like, these pull-up apparatuses and the bodyweight stuff, I could kill it. And you could kill it, too. And then what else could we have for free? Tires are free. We can make tires into sleds for free. Craigslist is the fucking bomb right now, because with the economy and big gyms going out of business, they're liquidating. They're getting rid of stuff for very cheap. And there's a lot of dudes on Craigslist that just, they left shit in their basement and they're not doing anything with it. 300-pound Olympic sets, all that stuff. Trust me. We are not going to, you know, you are going to rarely have guys that are going to come in that are going to break your barbell. Okay? But eventually you get a good barbell. But my first barbell was from Chrysler or Costco. 300 pounds, I mean, that thing was really fucked up. Yeah, I know that thing is going to make it, but most athletes can't even do one bodyweight squat. So you don't need to be going crazy on your big, lavish equipment. And what's a very big misconception is that we get all new stuff that is like, that's better. I think uglier is actually a little better. because it gives the impression that, okay, this shit's been used. They're probably getting busy in here. Okay? Very important lesson. And I remember when Al Costco, he really told me that lesson, it hit me when I saw another dude open up his gym and fucking dropped a lot of money on everything new. I think it was like 40 G's. You don't want to start your business with 40 G's in the bank, you know, in debt. You don't want to start your business with a loan or investing partners or any of that. You go with this. You go real small. 500 square feet would be great. That section of gym, basically, from the bean down, is what Joe DeFranco started in. Inside a health club. And he had Dahani Jones all up. That was his first pro athlete. Dude, they were busy. I mean, I think he started training people at 12 till 9. And in that 400 square foot place, they would do like 3 guys at a time. So you don't want to do one-on-one. You want to do semi-private, which cuts down the cost. And you could also do boot camps. Okay? And we'll get more into the details later. If you look down a little bit, it says, I still get my equipment from eBay and Craigslist. Some of the stuff is new, no doubt about that. But I didn't buy, I stopped buying new stuff. And then I only allow myself to invest, like, if I have a strong month and, like, 5 dudes sign up, okay, then I'll let myself go ahead and buy, like, a new barbell. Or maybe, like, something that's really going to be used, okay? But for the most part, a place like this, people stay, they regularly stay, they regularly pay, and they regularly refer. So what I do is I really focus on my existing clientele, which is that community family thing. I don't let people just roll in and take time away from my own family. Okay? Think of it like a mob. You don't just like walk in and become part of the family. You know what I mean? You have to kill somebody before you get in. So you know, I was like, damn, Tiger's going to kill him. Motherfuckers out there to get in here. You have to have that little barrier to entry. Critical. Okay? Now, how did this thing really get started? The whole business was, I made a trade to go get equipment. I traded a kid's, like, truck to trade my services. So I traded him for free in the summer. He borrowed his dad's truck. To get the ball rolling, Dave's got clients going. Maddie, I don't know what you're going to be able to do. You probably sign a non-compete. It's really not cool to take, you know, clients. Some clients will follow you when you leave. But for the most part, you want to get pumping right away? Free. Get fucking free people in there. Connect with the football teams. Connect with whoever you're well connected with. I know you guys probably got a program here. I'm a strength coach. I'll give you guys testimonials. You want all those success stories? They said, you know, I could offer something that's totally different than what you guys are doing. Send your whole team here. Or send your varsity team to me once a week. I'll train them free of charge for this whole season. Starting now to the whole season. You will generate a lot of buzz. You will create a lot of little soldiers. And we could always leverage that shit. Big time. Okay, we'll talk about leveraging later. I made a trade with one kid. I should have made a trade with the whole damn basketball team. That's what I should have done. Not one kid. I should have had 15, 20 dudes training with me for free. That would have been the optimal way. And that's why a lot of people struggle. They're afraid to give away the free stuff. Start with that giving hand. That shows that you care. That already puts you in the upper echelon of a good person. If you care, people like that. A lot of people don't care. Think about why you go to the places you go. Because those people give you good service, they care, and they make you feel good. People don't need to feel like shit, especially if they're giving you their money, right? They want to feel good about it. I speak about this a lot. You don't need a physical location to start. Some of you guys are in warmer areas, okay? Not so much myself, Ricky, and David. But I remember a dude in Philly, Jerry Hill, for, it may have been several years, he ran a very successful boot camp under the Turnpike Bridge. Fucking wintertime. Freezing out there. And those crazy bastards met him at 6 a.m. I don't know who the fuck wants to pay for that stuff, but he probably created such an awesome atmosphere, a caring community. He generated buzz, and of course his results were kick-ass. And I'm sure he did some neat little events where, like, hey, once a month, let's meet up at the pub and do those things. All those things make people forget about any little physical pain you might be going through. Okay? And he trains general fitness, you know? So you'll adapt and adjust what you do for your athletes, but you don't need a physical location. So don't wait for the physical location to happen. I built it up without a physical location. You know, it was in the house. What could I have done? Dude, if it was crazy busy, I'd meet them at like a park that had a gazebo when it was raining or some shit like that. Always make shit happen, okay? Don't be a crybaby, don't be a whiner. Charge, alright? Crew. I just spoke about never underestimating the power of free. That should never end. It should never end. Okay? We're going to do a little action plan right here. We're talking about defining your niches. A lot of people, they could sort of define who their niche is. How are we doing on time, Jared? What do you got, bro?
30 minutes.
All right. Define your niche. For me, if I had to define my niche, high school athletes, tired of losing. They're pretty much the average athlete, JV. They want to be varsity, and they want to be great at it. I also know who their parents are. Their parents are pretty much middle class or upper middle class. A couple of them are going to be upper class, really getting high incomes. They're willing to shell out the money to make sure that their kid stops experiencing the pain of losing or being slightly embarrassed of just being JV, not being average. They want character building. They want their kids surrounded by highly motivated kids. I know exactly what's in their mind. Just like I know very much like what's on your mind. Not exactly, but very much. You gotta know what runs through their mind. So, the niche is who you're going to focus on. If you don't have a niche, if you're for everyone, plain vanilla never wins. Being in the middle is not really good. You have to be at one end or the other, guys. Okay? I'm not a trainer for everybody. When a kid's mom or dad says, "What do you do for people like me?" I say, "I don't." That's it. We train athletes, we train competitors. Dudes walk in, I can tell, you know, the easiest way for me to kind of turn them away easiest, even if they might be an athlete, but if I can see that they're coming just to check it out, they don't have the eye of the tiger, they come in, and they say, "What goes on here?" First thing I say is, "We train competitive athletes." "I'm an athlete, what do you do?" "I play in a basketball league." I was like, "Nah, we train guys," and I'll even exaggerate it a little bit, even though it's really not. We have a dude here training for the Olympics. We have All-American athletes, national competitor athletes, but I really push that and say, we don't take dudes that are just weekend warriors. Like, we take guys that are in college or in high school and really want to do this. And then, you know, how do I leverage that? I make sure I get their name and email address, and I give them my info as well, so I can send them info to the website. Or maybe you send them stuff on your blog, and then on your blog you have, you know, an ebook or something that they could buy. So I leverage that shit, but I'm very clear and cut as to who I want. You want to know why? Because if I take, let's just say, David, Adam, and Maddie are competitive college athletes. And let's just say, Jamie and Ricky, weekend warriors. Let's say I let you two guys in, and you're in their group. You guys are going to be, in the back of your head, pretty pissed off at me, because these guys who are weekend warriors are showing up a little bit late, they're tired, then one day Ricky wants back his back, then fucking Jamie's like, "Oh, I didn't eat good today because of this and that," and you're like, "Fuck that, that's not the kind of place this is, and Zach is fucking it up, and I'm going to find a better place." But when I keep it to my cult and I do it exactly as everybody is, they start realizing that, dude, Zach is like a freaking dad. He ain't letting anything mess us up, and he's really taking care of us. And he's taking care of the family, and you got to take care of your family. And your clients are your family. Some people call it the cult, the tribe, whatever you want to call it. This is the fucking difference maker in business. It is huge. people have to just freaking be so looking up to you that whatever you say goes. And don't be afraid to exclude people. Okay? Now, before you decide who you guys want to train, this is a critical question you need to ask. First of all, what is the niche we set? It's just a narrow, you know, dead-on, laser focus on who your person or population or target market is. Could be female volleyball players. It could be high school female athletes. High school athletes. You can narrow it down as much as you want. Okay? You can make it as narrow as you want. Number one. Number two. Take it right there, bro. Pop in on Monday and we'll connect.
Yeah, let's talk to you when you have time, please.
Absolutely. How old are you?
Almost 16.
Where do you go to school?
Fairfield.
Okay, you know Keith, Mr. Shapiro?
Yeah, I did.
All right, good friend of mine. Are you in his class?
No, I know he is.
Thank God.
He plays football and plays lacrosse a little bit. He used to play baseball and he plays volleyball now.
Okay, so you're doing football?
Yeah, I'm getting ready for it now.
How'd you do last year?
Oh, we did pretty well.
What about you?
I did pretty well. I was pretty well in shape.
Okay, you were on the freshman team last year?
Yeah.
Okay, and you think you'll be varsity this year? Or
has it been? I might be. It all depends on I'm doing a lot of work right now for it.
Okay, what do you think you need to do to be varsity? And then we'll connect Monday. What do you think you need to do to be varsity?
Just work hard.
Work hard, that's it?
Yeah, get more stamina.
Stamina? What's your weak area that we need to work on?
I'm good with running, run a lot.
Upper body strength.
Yeah, probably.
So he has good legs and he has great
endurance.
He runs like 40 wings. He has that high tech. He looks like he's out.
Okay. What position?
I'm the wide receiver.
All right. So you got to be fast as hell. You got to be strong to take
a hit. I didn't work on my agility too. That's fine.
Yes.
Okay.
He comes across and somebody bumps into him and they fall down like they're ready to push out and then he gets followed for it. So I say that's my boy.
Let's talk Monday.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Okay, sure, as well.
No worries. We'll see you on Monday. So, Norm, let's go with that route real quick. Let's say somebody walks in, they want to, you know, that guy comes here every day, so I know I'll be able to connect him Monday. Now, if he takes a brochure, I want to pre-qualify, and that brochure has the prices. That way, he can see those prices. I don't even want to spend my time talking to somebody who can't even afford it. So I used to do that. I used to not check if they knew the prices, which was not good. Because it would waste my time and I'd bring in like a kid for a trial workout. And what would happen is, after the workout, then the dad's like, well, we need to think about these prices, or we'll come back after the season. Number two, I want to ask questions. Right? God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. I want him to tell me why he needs to, you know, why he needs to train here. Oh, I need to work harder. I need more upper body strength. The dad, of course, you know, that dad's going to be like, he's the man, but he needs to work harder. Football, you know, football doubles are starting in 6 weeks, you know. So what I'm going to do is when he comes in, he's a young kid. So number one, that's a good thing. Because if he does become a member, I have time on him. But what I could do is when he comes in is I could do a little bit of role reversal. And I could say, football is 6 weeks away. Like, you need more upper body strength. You said you needed to work harder. Like, why do you need to work harder? Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you think you need to work harder, if you haven't been working hard enough on your own, this place is probably not going to be for you. Because anybody who comes in here is going to always be working harder. And I don't want to hear any of that stuff. I'm going to really make it clear and cut that we don't take somebody that's like, oh, I kind of have to work harder, or I should have done this. You know what you get? Well, that's not me. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not this kind of person. It's the same thing I do. Like when I get the license status, I'm going to say, I don't want any half-assers. And it's true, because those half-assers could screw you up and give you a bad name. It takes one person to be that, like, that poor action taker to very much tarnish your business, okay? So, let's say that dude's name was Jim. And, like, Jim comes once a week when he's supposed to come 3 days a week, and then he skips, and he's always late, he's not eating the way he does, he's not doing everything I tell him to do. He becomes a bad walking representative of what we do, And then people are asking where he trains, and he says it's at the underground, and I don't have anybody from that school he goes to. I'm not going to get anybody from that school because he just fucked it up. So whoever comes into your circle, there are rules. And this is what you're going to do. And the way you want to do it is you want to ask them and say, does that make sense to you? Because you want them in full agreement about what they're about to do. And I have it in the contract that says, if they don't show up for 2 weeks, or if they're missing scheduled sessions unannounced, or they're not putting forth the work required, they will be dismissed from the program. Cut and dry, real simple. And that makes things change. You need to have that presence, okay? When somebody comes in, always ask questions. Don't tell them what you do. Nobody gives a fuck what you do, because you're going to brag about everything you do. But ask questions so they talk about why they need to be in this kind of place. His dad's been walking by all the time working out on his own. He sees kids flipping 600-pound tires, dragging sleds, throwing kettlebells on them. That's how we train, number one. Number two, we could call that bells and whistles. That does look pretty interesting to somebody who trains in a gym like that. And to the uneducated person, they think that that's the winning ticket to getting their kid or that or themselves in shape. So definitely having these things helps. Now, when you look at like the niche, we focus on football players and wrestlers. High school primarily, but also college. Does that kid fit our niche? Yes. That's number one. Number two, do they want to be trained? Don't pick a niche that doesn't give a crap about being trained. Okay? Good friend of mine, BMX racer, I don't know if he was a pro or not, he created a kick-ass DVD to get BMX bikers in shape. Fucking awesome. I don't even know if he sold it. And he couldn't build it. He couldn't build, like, his community. Why? They don't want us to do that. BMXers want to ride their bikes. Okay? Does that make sense? Whoever your niche is, they should be hungry, okay, for the training or for the improvements. Skateboarders don't want it. They just want to skateboard. Maybe Tony Hawk works out, but he's, you know what I mean? Like, Tony Hawk and a couple of the other guys do, like, some of their own fitness stuff, but for the most part, they don't want to do any of that stuff. So, I underline that because I can't make that important. When I first started training wrestlers, I started thinking, boom, they were really hungry for it. Then I came to a point where I just felt like they weren't responding. And what I thought was, some people convinced me, I thought, wrestlers, they just don't have enough money. One father told me, it's the poor man's sport. It's not a poor man's sport. It's wherever the heck you live, you know? I have a dude that comes here about 25 minutes away. His dad pays the 3 months in full. Boom. He rolls up with a Jaguar or some big excursion. Another dad drives an Acura, sends the kids to private schools. There are wrestlers and football players that come from the shittiest of areas with no money to the richest areas that, you know, some of us have probably never even seen. Okay? Just make sure that they fucking want it bad and they're hungry for it. And you need to be that person that is the king of, fill it in. You're the king of whatever that is, and they need to come to you. So, and also, are they a growing population? Okay? Football, wrestling, high school athletes, that is a growing population. Always. Do they want to be trained? I think you were talking about, Jamie, like training female volleyball players, soccer players. Dude, girls get no attention by a coach for weight training. They're always playing sports. They need it. They have this high incidence of ACL injuries. They want to get better. They understand that that's really the make or break factor to get a scholarship. Girls that go to D1 schools are very strong and physically fit. The girls that just play the sports, they're probably not going to optimize their chances. And I'm going to tell you a cool way that we could angle that. Here's what I want you guys to do. I spoke to you about why you came here. to enter the conversation in your mind. Number one. Okay? Number two, I have the success. That speaks for itself. Number three, I understand all these questions below. Now, number one, let's just get out a sheet of paper, and I want you to define, like, who is your target population or your niche? Who is the group or the person that you're going to want to train? That's number one. You'll write that down. This next part can take about 5 minutes, and it should always be something that you probably put in front of you when you're working or when you're doing any kind of marketing. It's always running through your head. So listen to these questions. What are their fears? What are their desires? What do they think about in the morning, the afternoon, and the evening? What are their, you know, kind of opinions do they hold? What do they aspire to do? Where do these people work or where do they go to school? What kind of income do they have? What are the cars that they drive? Media interests. What music do they listen to? What TV shows do they tend to watch? What kind of family life, social life do they have? What is their age range? Is it typically male? Is it typically female? Okay? I gave you a very specific idea of who, you know, the athletes I train and what they do. What's on their mind? They want to make it to this, you know, to this tournament. They want to be XYZ successful. This is roundabout where they're from. This is, I know where they hang out. I know what websites they go to. I know the shit that goes through their mind. I know the fucking words that they, the language they speak. If you can't do that, you're going to have a hard time connecting with them. So I want you to take out a sheet of paper, boom, write down your target market, and let's friggin' get going with everything that's running through their minds. That's going to give you a very specific idea of how to speak and how to market to these people. All right? So who's your niche? And then answer the what are question. All right, so let's start with David. Just give us, you know, give me the rundown on your niche and talk about some of those things.
Kind of based off my story, real quick. I mean, I was in a bad car accident. I almost didn't walk, thought I might lose a leg. Definitely said I would never be doing anything active again. So, I kind of found different types of training by getting into that, trying to rehab myself. The normal stuff doesn't work for me anymore. So, my niche market is really, the way I like to say it is, I'm looking for people that want to make a life change, not just quote unquote get in shape or lose a couple pounds here and there. I really want somebody who's willing to come in, make a life change, but they're willing to work hard, hard, hard for it. Like, I mean, if someone comes in, I always do free trial sessions, you know, as long as I think that they're ready to work. But that first session, I mean, I push them very hard. And I lose a lot of people in that first session. So I know if they're willing, because then they see what, you know, they do a half hour, then they see what a full hour is kind of like. So, you know, my mark is I really want to help people because I know this kind of training helped me get back to where I am now. So I do want to give back. So it might be a little bit wide, but you know, the main thing is I want to make sure that they're willing to work.
Okay.
It's more of a life change for them, not just a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Here's how you can tighten that up, though. Mm-hmm. And here's how I tighten up things is by, you know, I spoke about, listen, when somebody calls me, I always ask how they found out about me. That lets me know where I need to gear my marketing to. How they found out about me, if I get a lot of responses that it was a referral, then I know I got to push that. Dave, you need to listen to what those people do, where they work, where they're from, because they may very likely be hanging out the same kind of people. So what's the age range of the, well, first of all, who tends to come, men or women?
Probably about 70-30 women.
Okay. The women is where he needs to focus on. Women tend to be more motivated for like boot camp type stuff than men. They tend to be. It depends how hardcore the stuff is in the atmosphere.
Right.
What's their age range?
I'd say probably 25 to 40.
Okay. What about types of jobs they have? What are they doing?
I would say 90% of all desk jobs.
Desk jobs.
In the office all day long.
I'm going to tell you some really cool shit, like how he could, like, you know, push, how he could pump that up. Just remind me about that when I talk about, like, marketing to the right people. So we got the age range, primarily female, a lot of desk jobs. What tends to be their typical goal? Like, what are they looking for? When they come to you, why do they say they come to you? Why do they say they call you?
For the most part, a lot of the women, they say, you know, they don't, I think it goes back to some of their fears. Some of the ones that are married, they might not feel like they look like they do when they got married.
Yep.
Maybe their husband doesn't look at them the same way. It's just really, I mean, it's the inner confidence. They're not looking at themselves the same way in the mirror.
Okay. You've got to be able to speak that language when you speak to them in person and through your websites. All that shit that the women are talking about, they don't feel confident anymore. You know, so he's going to be talking about gaining confidence. He's going to be talking about looking hot again. He's going to be talking about everything that they tell him about is what he's going to be pumping. Now, you may have you may have a different thing in your head about what they need to work on, but all that shit you know is going to improve what they're talking about. So everything that you do for that target market, you've got to speak their language. Anytime somebody's talking to you, you need to record it in your mind. Okay? Does that make sense? So I want you to really target those people, those women. The referral should be pumping out of them. We're going to dig into that more. I'm not just telling you what to do. I'll tell you how to do it when we get a little bit further into it. But speaking their language is huge. And ask the right question. Okay? Now, you always want to say, why are you here? Let them tell you about the conference. Ask them if they're married. Ask them if they ever worked out before. How did it go before? Okay? Very, very important stuff. Adam, how you rolling with it, bro?
Well, kind of going to where I was, and I'm working on these boot camp ladies and stuff, and I'm always wanting more. I'm always wanting to push people I work with more. And that's why people I'd like to be focusing on would be athletes, probably specifically football players. Something I've always, I play football, it's something I can associate with, and I feel like I used to work with a couple of football players, and I like being able to push them in the gym. You know, I like being able to, you know, I tell them to do something, they're always willing to give it a try, they're willing to go for it.
Yep.
You know, so that's what I want to get back into again. And the area that I live in, I think they kind of have a mentality that the area's not very good, you know, no one in the area.
Grab a big chair, Uncle Mike. Where's the other man? He's not here?
No man, now he's standing before.
We'll introduce you guys to Uncle Mike after Adam goes. So, football players, who you want? How many schools are in here?
High schools. Three schools.
Colleges in the area? Okay. Let's talk about who's training athletes in your area?
Really no one right now. We had one guy who used to train a couple of athletes and a couple of firemen and stuff like that. But he quit and moved out of town.
How big is the football program in your school? In the schools?
There's
serious stuff there?
They're so right now. There's a lot of guys focused on soccer and stuff.
Okay.
A lot of people do.
Alright. So catch-22. There may be still some football guys there that want to kick ass. Okay? So football players. Out of all those three schools, definitely we'll talk about ways to connect with them, but in certain areas, there are certain sports that just dominate, like huge, okay? Here, it seems to be like equal. There's like football, baseball, wrestling, they're all very popular, but you go into like Pennsylvania, wrestling, huge. Down in Florida area, football. I know in California, like high school football is on like local TV, like regular TV. So you want to go to the hungry market, all right? If football is but soccer is really big, then you're still got a pretty tight target market of high school athletes. But because you can speak the language to football players, that would be definitely the way to start. And that's why I felt comfortable. I was able to speak to wrestlers, and I knew shit going on in their head. I knew exactly the questions to ask. And I knew what they were looking for, and I was a trusted resource because of the fact that I wrestled. That was like their first parents at that time always asked, did you wrestle? Because to them, it talked about like, if you didn't wrestle, you couldn't train their kid. But I never played football, basketball, baseball, or any of that, but we get those guys freaking kicking ass. But now it's trusted, so it's cool to start football because he's been there, done that. He can be the trusted resource. One, number two, nobody in his area is doing it, right? So number three, if he does it for just fucking 2 minutes, he could quickly knight himself as like the go-to football guy in, I guess, the county, in your county. And that's how you want to start the dominating. Okay?
But a lot of people come in just because they see us out on, they see us out there just doing crazy stuff. They see our power, we just built an outdoor pull-up system. It's like 15 feet high, we attach our rope to it. You know, with eyelets, we've got rings hanging on it, we've got four stations for pull-ups. So people are like,
yeah, it is like, you walk by that and you're like,
the town was like, you know, we just put it up there. You know, we didn't really care about the town. Like, we trained the police chief and we put it up saying, all right, let's see, you know, if anybody complains about it. And if people start complaining about it, they tell us to take it down. Let's take it down. We had one old lady from like the garden club or something complain at that.
You guys are weird. Like, it's like your clientele, like in Sarah. I mean, if you have like high school kids out there, they'll be like spitting and like cursing. Like, that's like probably not going to help them. Maybe drag.
Right.
Mike's got some nicer people rolling in there, but I'll tell them like when you first started, there's like three rooms yet. The end rooms and in the middle was karate or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell them like what you guys were doing when you started.
The building, we were actually the first space we had was about 1,000 square feet. It's a store, like a single building with it had three storefronts in it. The first storefront we had some like Hammersmith equipment, we had some dumbbells, you know, some kettlebells, just kind of small, narrow, and then we got through that. And then the end spot, not the middle, there's a spot in between that was occupied by a Taekwondo guy, but the end spot opened up, and we took that. So we started running some group classes out of there, some Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. We had a guy in there teaching Judo, Jiu-Jitsu. And then eventually what that turned into was the Jiu-Jitsu guy left, so we just took that whole thing, we took that space, and we started, you know, using the two end spaces, the middle space, we had the Taekwondo guy, and we had the courtyard. So we were using the courtyard outside and the two end spaces. And then finally, it was the list. We need the whole building. You know, we can't do this anymore. We need two spaces next to each other. So we pretty much told our landlord to put the squeeze on the Taekwondo guy. And so we got to get this guy's got to go. So we'll pay you whatever he's paying. We'll give you more, you know, because it was worth it for us to have more space there, because people were like, you know, trying to swing kettlebells, you got 30 people in like 800 square feet,
they're packed,
you know, it wasn't working, and people get pissed, because, you know, they're crammed in a room. So we put the squeeze on the guy, got him out, knocked the wall, you know, partial part of the wall down, and we got the two places connected. That's probably about, I don't know, close to 2,000 square feet, plus that end room, which is another, you know, 900 or whatever. So that eventually we'll just take the, you know, just knock the whole place. We'll buy the building and probably just open up the whole spot.
It's a pumping place. It's like narrow. It's a little bit narrow. So this is like a square 1,000. Mike's place is a longer 1,000. But it's like, you go by, they've got like that courtyard, there's like Social D, you know, it's like cranking and just, the whole thing is like really, like when I train with them, I'm like, man, I got my ass kicked so bad. And I was like, who the fuck would pay for this shit? Like, I just got killed. But then, like, we're hanging out, then we go and eat. I'm like, I'll pay for that.
See,
like, the whole experience changed, you know, the way, like, okay, you get your ass kicked, but, like, you're hanging out with these cool dudes. They drink beer Fridays. We, like, went to some, like, cool taco place down the road. And it was the entire experience that, you know, made everything really, really unique, which is probably why they have people staying with them a long time. But tell them, you know, these guys are all about to get their first warehouse. How did you guys get your first clients?
Well, we started both my partner and I were working at a health club, you know, like the Atlanta Club, which is this big,
huge,
fancy facilities in Wall Township, which is, you know, I think it's on like 80 acres of land or something. Kind of an exclusive place. And we were there for like 5 years, the two of us. And I've been an athletic trainer for 20 years as well at the high school. So my partner and I, like, he was also working at another gym, and I was, you know, training clients at their houses and, you know,
all different places, all over the place. And finally, we just, you know, we looked at each other and said, what the fuck are we doing? You know? Like, I gotta wear a name tag and shit. Then I get yelled at for not wearing my name tag.
Your,
like,
your corporate smile.
So yeah, so I'm like, we gotta get the fuck out of here. So we just kind of took, like, and they were selling, and they were actually selling a lot of the plates off at the time we were about to leave. So not only did we just get out of there and took some of our clients with us, but we took like half their plates, like at 5 cents.
What did you bought the equipment?
Yeah.
How did you take clients with you? Did you sign in on a computer? They just said, we're going, they didn't tell us to come, but we want to go with them. Is that how it worked?
Yeah, they didn't actually know that they were, but these people were still working out at the Atlanta Club, but they were training with us.
See, it was such a big place that those people were a number. They lost. How many people came with you? 10? 20?
I'd say I started, yeah, we probably started out with about maybe 10 clients each.
They don't know if they lost 10 clients. They don't know that Adam left. They just know that a member left. They don't know that Maddie's not there anymore. He's just another member. But you know how we spoke about, like, investors and partners? Mike and his buddy Jim, they're best friends. Like, they're homeboys. So when you have something like that could work for you. Okay? But an investment partner or loans and all that shit, no good.
No.
So when you got the first gym, did you get one bay or two bays?
We had one. We had about, it was in Belmar already, the first gym.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
And it was again on Main Street, and I think we were paying like 800 or 900 bucks a month rent. And we probably had about 1,000 square feet.
Again. What'd you have? What equipment did you put in?
We had hamstring strength. We had like, we actually started out with like 5 pieces of equipment.
Where did you get the hamstring?
We bought it all from an auction. We went to a gym that was going out of business, and with cash, we always, you know, we had some cash, and we did it out of it. They had mats. We bought mats for $5 a piece.
You got ripped off, bro.
Yeah, $5 a piece for these mats. We walked out of there. We had a pickup truck. We loaded all. Actually, we rented a U-Haul. We went to this office with a U-Haul and just loaded up with mats, some hammer strength equipment. We already had the plates that we bought for five cents a piece, 5 cents a pound. Bars.
5 cents a pound.
5 cents a pound.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is great.
We had, what else? You know, just random stuff we picked up along the way. We bought a treadmill from some lady we knew who had it in storage. You know, because we had some people who, you know, we didn't have like hardcore people coming in the trailers. We just had regular people. I had some high school athletes. You know, Jim had some like special populations because he was training over at this wellness center by the hospital.
Yeah.
So he picked some people up from there. We picked some people up from the Atlanta Club, and then from there it was just like, you know, people driving by, word of mouth. You know, word of mouth. No advertising. You know, none at all.
That's a beach town, Belmar, and now you smell the ocean, but Belmar is the beach. Where they are now, it's just a couple blocks, but most of our places like this, you're off the beaten path, so you're obviously not going to be in front of a lot of eyes. Like, it's pretty rare for somebody who rolled up like they did before to do that, but if you're in front of a lot of people, you can really generate a lot of buzz, but those word of mouth referrals can kick ass in a good way. You suck, word of mouth works the same way, like you'll go down. Okay? Good thing you guys don't suck.
So you didn't start at the CrossFit gym?
No. See, the CrossFit, no, we didn't start. That's been going on, I think we've been 3 years now.
Yeah, how's that
doing that?
Business?
Well, you know what, we don't really follow like CrossFit. It's just like Zach is affiliated with them. Like, we don't really, don't throw a workout in here and there. But we have our own system. But it actually, we're getting business just because we're affiliated and people are like, it's a popular thing now. So we're getting a lot of emails and phone calls just because people want to try CrossFit. And they come in and we tell them, listen, we're not going to be doing the workout of the day on CrossFit.com.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing our own thing. So that's the way it is here. If you go to like some of these other CrossFit affiliates, they're following to the T. We're not. We've kind of created our own system that we have our people do. Yeah, it's kind of our own thing.
But having that, it's kind of built-in advertising in the main site.
Yeah, it actually helped. I think it's worth the $500 a year.
$500 a year.
Yeah, for us, I think it's now $2,000. But we pay $500 and it's working. We're getting more.
You started too late, man.
And we're getting more, you know, we're that's pay, it's paying for itself in that matter. I don't know how long it's, we're actually going to be, you know, doing that CrossFit thing. Eventually, we make it's, that's probably just going to kind of fizzle out. We're, actually, our name of our business is the training room. That's where we started, so that's what kind of what we call ourselves too. But, you know, it works out. It's working out for us. It's giving us some traffic. Yeah, so.
So, I mean, I kind of want to, you know, you tell on the other side, I do want to mention across this, like, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody, it's for anybody. So, they're saying whatever they can, anybody in there, your mom's working on two seals and all
right.
That.
Right.
I mean, Virginia Beach, and it's like more than half a dozen, like, on the same freaking wall.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, and that's not what I want. I want to be more geared towards strength and power, where CrossFit does have that.
Uh-huh.
I think it's more metabolic conditioning than anything.
Right.
But
just right.
The guys that would humble. And I think that's great, but at the same time, I want to look more towards the beast aspect, going heavy and big. Like,
yep.
Hitting, you know, 30,000 boxes.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, the problem, one of the problems that I, you know, I see as well, too, is people go to the main site and they're like, how the fuck am I doing that? How the hell am I doing 100 pull-ups? And I'm going to go out and run a mile, and then come back and do, like, you know, some crazy ass, like, 135 pounds. So for us, that's why we take it, you know, we make it so everybody can, you know, do it. And then eventually, you know, everybody's, you know, they're all trained together and we're scaling different, you know, different
what we were talking about during the week is that we have a system where Mike and I have certain style training just like you guys do. But there's a program, just like we all went to preschool and then elementary school and so forth. We want those systems in place to help things run very, very smoothly. And I'm gonna get as deep into that as I can with you guys. But basically, you will create your own system according to your own training style, geared to your own target, you know, population and your niche. Okay? The systems are very important because if you kind of have guys that just, or guys, you know, girls or clients that come in and, you know, you can't just jump right into these workouts on the board because we have a phase one and a phase two. And that really just makes things very easy. And Adam was here and said, do all your guys do the same warm up? Yeah, we do the same warm up. They know what to do. You start on time, then we go outside, we do that. If it's the winter, it's a little bit different. If it's a baseball player, maybe we throw them some shoulder prehab. But shit is pretty systematic, so they know how things roll, and it helps you just run stuff tight and in gear. Anybody want to ask more questions to Mike? And he'll chime in, of course, when I'm going through this stuff.
Yeah, like Zach said, we do the same. Everybody that comes in for our class, like a lot of we do semi-private training. We do some private training just to get people up on their skills before they can jump into the group training. But this, we do the same warm up. Almost every workout, the warm up's the same.
Yeah, you can switch it, but you know we know that like that warm up that I use here, it's just critical. Because if they don't know how to do squats and they, you know, this, the push-ups and all that little stuff, that's like their skill practice right off the bat. And I also could use that easily remembered warm-up for them to take home with them as homework. And then they get better, and it makes your business better. Everything is tied into one another in this like strange ways, but you'll feel it and understand it more when you're running your business and you start seeing, oh man, I know why they do that same shit, and you think like you have to always have it different and all that stuff. And I used to have workouts up there that said wrestling, football, and I was like, fuck, this girl plays field hockey. I don't have any more room on the board. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
General physical preparation. Everybody's going to get stronger, more explosive, and highly conditioned. Who doesn't need to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, if there's a specific thing I need to work on with, I'll hit it in the beginning and or the end. Simple. Does that make sense? Matt, you want to go to yours, like your target market? We gave you some feedback and who you're going to be working with.
Yeah, well, essentially, I mean, I grew up as a football player, and I was always the smallest guy on the field everywhere I went. You know, so I know how to work harder, get bigger, stronger, but also I know what my strength and conditioning did for me. I had my older brother was in college when I was younger, and so he showed me things. So I kind of want to be that mentor for a couple of football players.